Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
You. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. Welcome to the show. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great this weekend, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Hanging in there. Our guest today, actually we have two guests today. Singer Mesa is on up first, the first hour, and then bassist Julian Vaughn will be on the second hour. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485 if you'd like to call in and speak to the artist. You can also join us in the chat room by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com, clicking on the TSJ radio show page, and then the play chat button under the Mesa Show. So let me introduce to you Miss Mesa. Jazz's magazine calls her one of the most identifiable and consistently enjoyable singers on the scene today. The Baltimore Sun says Mesa is one of the best singers in underground soul. Soul Train award-winning Mesa tells the story of a woman in love, the title of her new CD. Mesa, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. The record's doing well. It's picking up, and I'm really excited about that. That's my biggest thing to do this year is just get this record going.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for coming on the show and spending some time with us. And like you said, your record is doing very well. And I was mentioning to you before we came on the air how much I like the cover of it because it has that old school feel to it. So I really like that. So congratulations on this new CD.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So now this CD is pretty, is different than your previous CDs, pretty much. Tell us about this.
Well, this record was my kind of, my first time doing straight ahead jazz on a record. I used to do it when I was in high school and college. I sang a lot of straight ahead jazz when I was learning how to sing and learning how to teach myself how to sing. But it was the first time I've done it on record, and it's kind of, it was a little bit scary because I didn't want to lose the people who have been listening to me up until this point. I've always done a mixture of, you know, so what I call jazz funk or jazz soul music, where there's jazz influences when I introduce the scat to different things, but I never went straight ahead before. So working with my producer, Chris Big Dog Davis, we you know, came together, and with his arrangements, I think that we made the music accessible to all ages and all people who normally wouldn't listen to straight ahead music.
Wow. Okay.
Now, you actually studied classical performance in Morgan State, so you definitely have a background in this.
Oh, yeah. I did that's what my degree is in, the classical performance. And even though I didn't want to pursue being an opera singer, but I've used everything that I learned, you know, basically, in my training, I use it today.
And I was going to ask you about being an opera singer, if that was one of your interests.
I would love to. I don't know if it's too late for me to do it now, but I enjoyed it when I was in school. But I just didn't think that it was for me as far as like a full-time career. I just love jazz and funk and soul too much to abandon it, you know. And pretty much, when you train as an opera singer, it's, you know, kind of limited to, you know, your voice changes and it gets to a certain level where you really can't come back. And I didn't want to do that.
Okay. All right. Now, this CD, it says on the cover here that you are with her. Let's see, it reads, Soul Train Award winner Mesa tells the story of a woman in love with her brilliant originals and reimagining of the classics of Billie, Ella, and Nina. Now, were these influences for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, all of them were major influences when I was coming up. Like I said, I was you know, singing a lot then, back in the day when I was coming up in college, I sang a lot of straight-ahead music. So those are my main influences back then.
Okay. I have a question for you from the chat room. Cheryl B. would like to know, when did you learn to scat?
Well, I learned to scat probably around 19, let me see, around the early 90s, probably late 89 to 90. That's when I really started practicing a lot. I would listen to a lot of saxophone players, instrumental music, and listen to Ella Fitzgerald and listen to Sarah Vaughan for phrasing. And I just did that because I wanted to be different. I didn't want to sound like anybody else. And nobody at the time, you know, it was all about pop music back then, about being a pop star and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but I wanted to be different, and I thought my voice lent itself better to jazz or a mixture of jazz and soul than to pop music. So I really worked hard on learning how to do the art of scat because I just love it. And when I listened to Al Jarreau when I was 12 years old, my uncle turned me on to him when I was 12. And from that point on, I knew that's what I was going to eventually do because I just loved it, loved being an instrument inside the band. That's how I saw myself.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask you, okay. You just mentioned that your uncle turned you on to Al Jarreau. Who was it that really got you into singing, or when did you know that, you know, that you could sing? You know, when did you find that out?
Well, when I was 6 years old, my mother took me to see Melba Moore in the play Pearlie. And when
mm-hmm.
Melba Moore came out on stage, she blew my mind, and I just knew that's what I was going to do the rest of my life. But when my mother told me as early as 3 years old, I would, as soon as somebody would come and ring the doorbell, I would perform for them as soon as they came to the house, whether it was the mailman or my cousins or family members, it didn't matter. I just, as soon as somebody came to the door, I would start singing and dancing, and they were like, what is wrong with this child? You know, so I did that early from age of 3. And then when I turned 6, like I said, Melba Moore was the real reason why I wanted to be a singer, you know, in the future. So she was the main influence back then at 6.
And outside of the classical training or the school that you went to, did you have any other formal training?
No, well, mostly I was on the Morgan State University choir for the whole time I was at school, so that's training in itself. It's learning how to go on the road. I mean, I learned a lot about being on tour by being in the choir. I learned a lot about, you know, being the background singer, you know, by being in the choir. So when I auditioned for Stevie Wonder, it's kind of like a natural progression, and it was, you know, a great one. I mean, that was a great opportunity to be able to sing background for Stevie, but it kind of, all those things I learned while I was at Morgan, it's like learning different things about how to act, how to conduct yourself on the road, how to deal with, you know, all the surprises of being on the road. And so I learned a lot at Morgan.
Yeah. Okay, since you brought up Stevie Wonder, would you share the story of how you came to work with him?
Well, my best friend Kim, we were both at Morgan on the choir together, and she went out to California a little early because she was a part of a girl group that was later to be like, I mean, they would have been definitely like in Vogue or like the, you know, Destiny's Child. They were like pre-Destiny's Child and all that stuff. They were a huge, were going to be a huge group. And then when they got out to California, the manager stole all their money.
Mm.
And so they were out there kind of just winging it. And she happened to get an audition with Stevie Wonder. So she was singing with him for a while. But I had a year left at Morgan. And she said, Mesa, I think I really want you to come out. I think Stevie's looking for an alto voice like yours. So I'm going to ask him, can you audition it? So she did. And when he came to Baltimore, he auditioned me. And I asked him, I said, Stevie, I said, I have 1 year left in school. Can I just finish that and then come to California? And he was like, cool. You know, he said, that was real cool. So a year later, after I graduated from Morgan, I went to California. And that's when he was doing the Jungle Fever project.
Oh,
and
wow.
I got to sing background on that, which was awesome. And then I got to tour with him to various television shows like Oprah and David Letterman, and also Johnny Carson was still there then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great, you know, being on the road with Stevie for a little while.
And you guys also did the Arsenio Hall show as well.
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did Arsenio.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall, wow. That's a blast
yeah.
in the past.
I know.
Wow. That was a great time when he was on the air. Now, you are most well known as the lead singer for Incognito. So would you please share that story of how that came about?
Well, while I was out in California singing with Stevie, I was working for other producers, and one of the producers I did some work for happened to be best friends with Bluey, the founder producer of Incognito. And Bluey was looking for an American singer for his band. He had just recently worked with Jocelyn Brown, and she had gone on to do some other great stuff, and so he still wanted an American singer. So when he called his friend, his friend said that he thought that I would be a good person for the audition. And one day I came home. I was working, you know, at that time I wasn't on a retainer with Stevie, so I had regular jobs too. I was working at, you know, singing around town, and I was doing, you know, teaching music, and I was doing all different things. And I came home from work one day, and Bluey called me. And we were just supposed to have a conversation, and he's going to tell me when I was going to come to England for my audition. But during that conversation, he had me sing for him. And the next morning, his manager called me and said, he's not looking anymore, you got it. And just come on over, because, you know, in a week, we're going to fly you over, and then you just move here, and we're going to start the album. And, you know, it's just like that kind of magical thing. He's like, huh? He's like, I thought I was coming to audition, and I'd already gotten a gig that night. So that's how I got to be with Incognito.
And how long were you with him, and are you still performing with him?
Yeah, I'm still with them. Actually, we're starting again this year. I've been on and off with Incognito the whole time. So we're going on 18 years now, 18, 19 years that I've been with them. So it's just like a continuation. I just took a break for a little while to kind of just focus on my solo career. So I came back, you know, I stopped touring with them about 3 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago in it. But I've been doing little things here and there. I just did the 30th anniversary last year, and I'm about to do the Capital Jazz Fest cruise with Incognito in October. And I think surrounding that cruise, we're going to do some dates in America. So we'll definitely be on tour in 2010.
Okay. All right. Now, I've never seen, I have yet to see Incognito and you guys perform together, but I have seen you a couple of times solo. I'm in Las Vegas, and once when you were here in Vegas, you were performing at, I believe it was at the Sunset Station. It was outside.
Yeah,
that was a great time.
That was with Kim Waters, yeah.
Yes, that was a while ago, but that was so good, so good.
Oh, okay.
And then I saw you on the 2007 Smooth Jazz Cruise. Brian. So that was a great concert. Yeah, you did. You were so, so good. I really enjoyed you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Now, Miss, I wanted to ask you, you know, you did a music video to one of the songs on the new album. Now, in an age where, you know, the adult contemporary music is not, we're not being on the videos as much as we used to be back in the day, what made you decide to do a music video?
Well, the record company, they were really supportive about doing videos. They it's a part of my contract when I signed with them that I do get a video, and with the last two albums, with the Metamorphosis and now this one. It's just to help, you know, to be visible in the industry, because it's so hard right now because radio's changed so drastically that we need to do different things to, you know, and video, of course, has been around for so many years now. It hasn't died down. Video is very important still in the industry and the way people sell music now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, let's listen to some music from the CD, A Woman in Love. And I think I will start with the title track of that.
Okay.
So this is A Woman in Love, the title track.
I want
special purpose in this world. She glows like the beautiful rays of the sun. Have you ever seen a woman in love?
A woman in love is more precious than gold. A woman in love is the truth untold. A woman in love.
Title track from Mace's new CD, A Woman in Love. I love that. I love that. And I want to ask you, Mace, about the man inside the CD cover. Now, is this someone that you personally know? Or I don't want to get, you know, too off into your business and all. But...
No, this is, his name is Tyrone Wallace. He's a very good friend of mine. And I chose him for the album cover because he has that kind of... their 40s, you know, kind of old school look. And
okay.
So I thought we put them on the cover. But yeah,
all right, cool. Mm-hmm. All righty. Now, most artists, when they do a CD, sometimes that CD is sort of a reflection of, you know, what's going on in their lives at the time. Is this true for you with this one, A Woman in Love?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of been, you know, back and forth in several relationships over the years, but the one I'm kind of in a relationship right now, it's like a, I can't really explain it. It's like a friendship that's developing, whatever, and so I'm kind of just letting it be. And for the first time, I feel like it may lead to something great. So I'm just trying to chill and just be happy and go with the flow, and that's
okay.
And that's pretty much what this is about.
Okay, well, cool. Well, cool.
Now, Miss, I read your bio and everything on your website, and I loved what you said in the end about we are about to return to the truest form of the art of music, no more fake singing or playing. And you said that if you don't practice and don't have the chops, or if you don't believe that your beauty or booty is going to swing for you, think again, because you'll get it back. So I like that. You know, cause that's what I've been saying. There's too much booty shaking going on. We need some real singers. And I love that you said that. Definitely.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with booty shaking. Booty shaking has its place in this world. I'm just saying, stop trying to sing if you can't sing. I'm sick of that. I have a problem with. That is messing me up right now. I've worked too hard and been studying and been through the mill back and forth and paid my dues for everybody in the music industry. And I'm just, if you can't sing, then don't try. Just stop it.
Yeah. Mm. That
is
so
amen.
True. I'm with you on that one. Believe me.
If you have not seen Mike's video blogs on Facebook and YouTube, you know he is definitely with you on that one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Definitely. I'm getting tired of it, too. I'm definitely getting tired of it. But and you also, I like what else you said about how these other older singers inspired you to be different in so many ways. Because you said that Donna Washington inspired you to be classy and everything.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah, she's definitely a classy singer. It was very, I just love how she's very ladylike and girly, and you know, just watching her in videos and stuff, and how she phrases and stuff. I just love it. And you know, and then what I learned from Billie Holiday was to be true to my moods. You know, and expression and, you know, what I was feeling inside, deeply inside. That's what I got from listening to Billie Holiday over and over and over again when I was a kid. So, you know, those kind of, you know, and then, of course, Sarah Vaughan's phrasing is just second to none. She's just the best at phrasing to me. And Ella Fitzgerald just had, just the chops of life as far as scat's concerned. So, I mean, you know, all of them all together, I mean, they taught me a lot about trying to shape who I am. And also I learned from Patti LaBelle, you know, about her performance, how she performs on stage, how she's real with the audience, you know. And so I learned from so many singers. It's you have to really take it in and listen and do a lot of listening. And, you know, it's great to be beautiful. It's great to have a beautiful shape and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what music is about. And, you know, I know the industry is sex sells. I know I understand all of that. But the point is that when people go to hear me sing, you know, they can close their eyes and get that feeling. I can relate to them without them seeing who I am. And that's what the point is about music. That's the spiritualness of it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that's how you know that Mesa is a true singer, because like you said, she studies all of the older, you know, women and kind of emulate what they've done over the years and transform that into what she brings out right now. I love that.
Exactly. Now, I also read about you singing with Chaka Khan for the first time on stage. So would you please share that story?
Well, no, that was years ago. That was when I was singing background for Stevie. Chaka was at the Strand in L.A., and he went to see her. Well, I went to see her. He said, "Let's go see Chaka." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" I became a nervous wreck instantly. I'm like, "You don't understand. Like, she's like my hero." And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I was like a kid in, you know, the candy store. Like, "Oh my God, we got to see Chaka." So we went to this show, and Chaka was she did her show, and then she had a section in the show where she was letting singers come up. And there's a lot of singers in L.A. and people were coming up. And she would let them sing her songs and stuff. And a lot of singers came up and they tried to out-sing her. They were like trying to out-scream. You can't out-scream Chaka. That's her thing. And so they were trying to do that. A lot of people have been drinking and they were just trying to holler. And she was like, started heckling them, like, you know, "Oh, come on, somebody, get off stage, or you need to go get a real job." And she was playing it. The audience would laugh and, you know, be that kind of thing. So when Stevie, I told him that, you know, I was terrified. I was like, he was like, "Mesa, go up there and sing." And I was like, "Oh, no. Because if she said something to me, I won't ever sing again. I know that." I'm like, "No, don't. I can't do that." But he made me go up there anyway. I think he thought it was funny. So he made me go up there anyway. And something told me that just when I got up there, just do something different. Just be different from everybody else, you know. And I couldn't. I'm not hollering. I can't do that kind of power screaming, you know, kind of vocal. So I said, "Well, I got to do something else." So I started scatting. When she called my name and she said, "Come on, this is one of Stevie's girls, come on up and sing." And she said my name and then I started scatting along to the music. She said, "Go ahead, girl." And the whole audience was crazy. They were screaming like I was the only person she gave props to. And so that made my night. And it really helped fuel my confidence, you know, from that point on.
All right. I love that story. That's why I wanted you to share that. I love that story. All right. I have a request from the chat room to play Spend Some Time.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
All right. So we're going to play that next. This is Spend Some Time.
Together for me, baby. Is it something I can feel? I ain't got no time for playing games. I need something I can feel. I've been waiting such a long, long time for a man like you to blow my mind. Baby, what you rushing for? Can we please just slow this down? If I get a chance to know who you are, I might wanna hang around. I've been waiting such a long time for a man like you. So baby, some minutes, baby. I know you're ready to take it there. Just give me a little time, 'cause I got something I wanna share.
I wanna be with you.
I've been waiting such a long, long time for a man like you to blow. And I'll get to know you too. And then one day we'll be, we were meant to be.
Oh,
it's time to
blow my mind.
Time. I think about you all the time.
I really wanna be with you.
Dancing in my chair over here. That was Spend Some Time. That was a request from the chat room from Cheryl B. Very nice, very nice. Let me acknowledge those in the chat room and welcome you to the show. Andrew Harris, C.D. McGee, Cheryl B., Jam 10. She is all the way in New Zealand, listening from New Zealand. And we also have a lady named Ann J. who is listening in Jamaica.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
So welcome you all to the chat room. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the show.
Yes, and those outside the chat room as well.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, Miss, I want to ask you about the Underground Divas. How did you guys hook that up?
Well, I was looking for, back in, I guess it was a while, it was probably about 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, I got this idea that if there's singers like myself who were kind of bubbling under in the industry, singers like such as, you know, India Davenport, as far as a solo artist, India Davenport and Karen Wheeler and Amel LaRue and all of us, I thought we all band together, and I thought it would be easier for us to get some more publicity and get out there, you know, better. So kind of like the Lilith Fair kind of thing, like to have a whole bunch of singers all in one stage and one day come together and do that. So I just basically tried to put that together. And I came up with the name because it's like some kind of like a superhero type or kind of comic strip kind of name, like we were all kind of superheroes in trying to and surviving in the industry so long without having the type of publicity that we kind of deserved and have worked so hard for. So I thought if we all band together, we could get that going. And so I've been trying to get funding for years. I've actually done the show twice, once in Atlanta for a private company, and then I did at the Capitol Jazz Fest last year, and we did this, it was just me, myself, it was myself, Karen Wheeler, and Adia Davenport, and we were the divas of British jazz funk, and it turned out great, so hopefully, you know, in the next few years, I will get some more, you know, funding together and get more people interested in putting us all on tour, and we'll get more singers to come aboard. There's so many of us that have, you know, had great careers in and still trying to, as solo artists, and still kind of just bubbling under the surface.
Now that you mentioned that, let me ask you now, with you, Ms. Davenport, and Amel, you guys, me and Trent talk about this a lot. You know, you got Latticee, Layla. You guys are in that in between. You're not R&B, but you're not. I mean, you're neo soul, but then you guys are performing at a lot of jazz festivals. I mean, what do you? I mean, I know it's good music, but what do you think you guys fit in as far as the grand scheme of a genre?
Well, I think that we can't be pigeonholed. I think that's probably one of our problems, is that we're not either or. We're just making, you know, really good music that has a soul. It's a certain swing to it. It's a certain soul to neo soul or jazz funk or acid jazz, whatever you want to call that genre of music, you know. And that's just our thing. And it's unique. And I just hope that somebody embraces it for what it is, you know, and stop trying to pigeonhole it. Because right now, we're at the best time in the industry right now. Everything's been blown up. Like, you can't even, it's not even going to be pigeonholed anymore. The smooth jazz is completely gone in the sense where the stations are, you know, if it's not for mm-hmm. internet stations, I don't know what stations are left. There's no, you can't get in your car and turn on the radio and have a smooth jazz station anymore. So we have to, you know, we kind of have to kind of blow it up and mix it up a little bit. And I think that's probably what's happening now. So at this point, you know, I don't pigeonhole myself. I'm not a smooth jazz vocalist. I'm not a jazz vocalist. I'm not an R&B singer. I just make music, and that's just how I see it.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of artists feel that way too. They don't like to be pigeonholed in a specific genre, and that's where the industry puts them, and they don't like that either. They're like you. They just like to make good music.
Right, and you know, because I got a lot of stuff coming up. I've written country songs. I'm going to do a dance album. I'm not going to do something under, you know, maybe a different name. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of music in me, and I'm going to continue to do it. So I'm not going to put myself in a box and just have to do that for the rest of my life. I don't want to do that. And then that's you know, that's probably been why my career hasn't been the way I've wanted it. It hasn't had the success that I've dreamed of and wanted it. But I've had great success. And I've been blessed, so I'm happy with that. And I did, when I was 15 years old, I asked God to give me longevity. I asked him, could I please just be around for a long time and not be a one-hit wonder? And that's what he's given me, you know. I haven't been, you know, some big superstar. Everybody knows me, but I'm still in the game after 20 years.
Yeah.
Mm. And Andrew Harris in the chat room says that you are a great vocalist.
Thank you, sweetheart. So nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I pulled up your touring schedule, and I have to say you are quite the busy woman. You have a lot going on. Two things I want to ask you from this schedule. First of all, about your 11-piece band. Tell us about that.
Wow. Yeah, that's, according to most people, that's financial suicide. Like, you know, at this point in the game, why would I take out so many people? But I take them out, that big band I take out for like, big concerts. Like, I'm doing a show in Atlanta on May 21st. Which is going to be great. That's and I wanted that. I haven't done a concert on my own in Atlanta in quite a few years now. So I wanted to come back kind of big and show everybody and do my whole full show. And then at Shane Park in Detroit, I'm going to bring that size band out again. So it's very rarely. But other than that, I mean, my band is not that much smaller, but it's financially it's kind of hard to take that many people on the road. So I have to really learn how to scale it down and still produce the same sound, but not have so many people, you know, out there. But then again, on the other side, as a musician, a fellow musician, I want to keep my people working. I want to keep my friends working and want to help because it's hard out here. And, you know, it's kind of hard to balance it all. But I think I'm going to be okay. And so, but I love having that big band sound. It's just awesome.
Yeah, true. Now, Mason, now I know that you use Spur of the Moment for your band, too, when you in town performing. Are they any members of that group a part of the band?
Kevin Prince, the percussionist, is still in my band.
Okay.
But, you know, I know all musicians, we'll go back and forth. Right now my band's out of Philly, and we go, you know, but as it goes, musicians, you know, have to sub out and have to switch up and all that kind of stuff because they're working with other people. And so we'll be going back and forth. So I keep it open to who I work with. It's not shut off or cut off.
Okay.
And I also wanted to ask you about you're doing some music, some songs for, or rather you are singing Angela Bofill songs. Tell us about this event coming up, because for those of you that don't know, Angela Bofill was a singer back in the 70s, 80s.
Yes.
I remember her then, and she suffered two strokes. And she has not been able to perform since. So tell us about this event coming up with Angela.
Well, the show is called, it was basically an Angela Bofill Experience. And Angela's going to be, because she can still speak really well, so she's going to be kind of narrating her career and telling the story about her life and her music and how popular music, you know, has always been. And because she can't sing right now, she asked me would I do the shows with her and sing for her. So when she talks about the song I Try, or, you know, This Time I'll Be Sweeter, when she talks about those songs, I'll be singing them for her for the series of concerts, four nights in San Francisco so far. And I think there are a couple other gigs coming up. But I was completely honored and floored that she asked me to sing the songs, but she could ask anybody, you know, and she asked me to sing them for her. So I'm very blessed and honored that she asked me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this event is going to be July 22nd through the 25th at the Praz Room in San Francisco.
The Raz Room.
Raz, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then Phil Perry and Norman Connors are also scheduled to perform as well. Mm-hmm. And then is there some place where, is there a website where people can go to get tickets if they want to attend?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think you can go to AngelaBofill.com, and I think that they'll guide you to where to go to get it.
Okay.
But I know if you can, in San Francisco, if you call the Raz Room, I'm sure you can get tickets there too.
Okay.
And I think it might be Ticketmaster also.
Oh, okay. All right. And it also says that the show will continue in Detroit on July 28th and later during a special sailing of the Smooth Cruise aboard the Spirit of New York on October 18th. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, on October 8th. So that's good.
Yeah,
that's good to hear that.
Yeah, it's good that she's doing some more. They're doing some more shows, so that's a good thing.
Wow, okay. All right, the next song I'm going to play is Love Theory, and I got another question from the chat room about this. Cheryl wanted to know how you and Will came together to put this song together.
Well, it's funny. When I was in it, we were almost finished the record, and my producer had written a track, and he said, "Macy, have you written to the song yet?" And I hadn't written to it, and I was like, I can't think of anything right now. So I went up to Connecticut, and we started in the studio writing and talking about the song more, and I came up with the chorus and the bridge. And then I said, "Well, we got to finish the song." So I said, "We should make this a duet." And he said, "Okay, who you want to call?" And I said, "I don't know what he thinks." So we went through male singers like Eric Robeson and all these different people, so I was like, I wonder what Will would do. And he said, "Yeah, call Will. Just call him." And I just called him, and he said, "Sure, send me the song." And he finished writing the song, and he sang it, and it just sounds great. And that's another one of my magical moments in my career.
All right. This is Love Theory featuring Will Downing.
The things we have to do to make this work, this relationship between me and you, far beyond the obvious physicality. This goes way beyond what the human eye can see. I need to go deep inside your mind, see the common things inside of you that we might find. Can be the happy ever after. All these things we can be. That's a theory that's relative to me. That's a love theory.
Always be
me and you. That's our love theory.
The way I see it, these are the things we have to do
to
make this work.
So nice. You and Will compliment each other so well.
Thank you.
No hat.
Very
that
nice.
Was now, Mason, now you are receiving an award tonight, the Ruby Glover Award.
Ruby Glover was one of the Baltimore's greatest jazz divas, and she's just she was my first jazz teacher, my only jazz teacher, and I remember learning a lot from her back when I was in college, and about phrasing and about the one thing I remember that she taught me was that, Mason, when you sing a song that someone else has written, make sure you pay tribute to the writer by singing the first verse exactly as they had written the song. And then when you get to the second verse, you can sing it and make it your own. But always pay tribute to the first verse, but to the writer by singing it the way they wrote it. And I love what she said, and I always did that. I've always done that.
Wow. Now, that's tonight. That's going to be at 8 p.m. tonight, and Marcus Johnson will also be there. Now, are you going to be singing, or are you going to be just receiving the award?
I'm probably going to sing. I mean, I usually, you know, when I go to that, I probably end up singing something because I'm, you know, just grateful that people want to give me an award, and WEAA has been so instrumental in Baltimore and my career, and, you know, it's nice that my alma mater is helping me out, you know, by playing my music so much. So, I'm, you know, of course, I would definitely sing.
Yes, that's going to be cool. That's out there. Let's see, WEAA right now is the only station that we have in the area, and that's with the Bassman and those guys out there and everything. Yes, that's going to be hot. That's going to be hot with you and Marcus tonight. And I just wanted to ask you as well, I know that you are a spokesperson for RSV.
Yeah, well, I used to be. That was back in the early 2000s when I was a national spokesperson working with the March of Dimes. Speaking of, RSV is a disease called respiratory syncytial virus, and it's a virus that babies who are born either as preemies or they have heart disease or lung disease or they're born a little bit too early, they can get this disease. It starts out like the flu, and it's more prevalent in the flu season. It starts off like the flu, but then it turns into an infection, like a pneumonia, and bronchial infections very quickly, and it can kill a baby at that age. Most babies who are under 2 years old that are hospitalized because of RSV, and there's just too many babies being sick from that. So I wanted to, and my son had, when he was a preemie, and when he was born, he had a little bit of he started to get sick from this, and we were able to get him the medicine really early, and the medicine is called Synergis, and that medicine helped stave off the, you know, the whole thing. So he didn't really get the whole RSV disease, but we were able to catch it in time. So I want more mothers who've had babies who are at risk to know about this and know that your baby has a cold and they're breathing harder than normal and they coughing too much or they turn blue or they, you know, whatever. You need to recognize these signs immediately and take them to the hospital immediately because, you know, this is what most babies under two die from. This disease.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to let you know that the Bassman is in the chat room. He says that he says to say hello to you and that he can't wait to see you, can't wait for tonight.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you so much, Bassman.
And then I want to read a couple of reviews on the CD. This first review is from Scott O'Brien from smoothjazznews.com. This new release from one of America's most beloved and recognized smooth jazz vocalists is an absolute must-hear and must-have. Mesa's A Woman in Love is an incredibly satisfying listening experience that combines fresh, passionate originals from her and her producer, Chris Big Dog Davis, with sparkling and equally passionate contemporary reinventions of Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and Nina Simone classics. And a review from Amazon.com, her beautiful vocal gift is graciously exhibited on every track. Nothing seems compromised. She scats and modulates in a style that the great Ella Fitzgerald was known for. This is grown folks' music performed and presented in grade A fashion.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, grown folk music.
<That's serious. laughs> I want to. That's beautiful.
Yes, it's a great CD, Mesa. So congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, Mesa, are you doing a live CD version of the CD live taping?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Actually, this summer, God willing, that I will get this Mesa live at the Birchmere. We're gonna finish it. I started it 3 years ago. Ran into a lot of problems trying to get funding to finish it, but this year I'm determined to finish my live album. And more so because I own it. I'm going to own this record. It's the first time in my career that I'm going to own myself. So I'm really excited about it. And for once, all the proceeds from this album are going directly to my son's future. And it's going to a savings account that I can't touch, that I know my son will be okay. Because, you know, being in the music industry, I live a feast of famine lifestyle. And so, you know, I want to make sure my son has a secure future. So this album is dedicated to him, and it's for him.
That is cool. That is very cool. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm trying to make that out there.
Yeah, that's going to be August 13th and 14th at the Birchmere.
Yeah, at the Birchmere.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to try to make it out.
Yeah, definitely check that one out. So I want to play one more song from the CD, Mesa, and I'm going to let you pick this time.
Wow. I think I want to choose the song called Honeybee. It's like a mixture of, it's like a straight ahead and an R&B song at the same time.
Okay. Okay. This is Honeybee.
Intersect in our own little paradise.
Honey B, you have such a beautiful voice. Such a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you. Unless, Mike, you have any other questions?
No, that's about it for me. Oh, just one thing. Like I said, I know that, Mesa, you mentioned your son, and you actually named your son Jazz.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That was the thing my son's father and I had in common was jazz music, so I named him that. I just thought it was such a cool name, and when I yelled it out, it sounded kind of cool. I'm just yelling after him. So it's kind of a nice thing.
That's cool. I like that, too.
Wait,
like
is it
that
spelled
too.
J-A-Z-Z?
J-A-Z-Z, yep.
Okay, cool. All right. Cool.
All right. So quickly, can you just tell us where you're going to be in the next couple of weeks? What's coming up?
Well, the next couple of weeks I'll be in Atlanta doing my concert May 21st at Center Stage. I'm doing some guest dates here and there, but everything's on my website. You know, it's kind of a blur to me already, but I'm just going to keep promoting the record and keep seeing it going, still hanging in the charts, going up the charts. I'm really happy about it, and it's mm-hmm. it seems to be doing. I always pray for this Norah Jones type craziness to happen to me, so this might be happening with this record. It's getting more and more popular, and it might just come out of nowhere and blow up the way I pray it to.
All right. Well, we look
and you're
forward
also
to seeing you.
Uptown, I'm sorry. Real fast. She's going to be at the mm-hmm. Uptown Jazz Festival performing with Mike Phillips on June the 26th.
Oh yeah.
Down in Charlotte.
Definitely that.
Yes.
And also I'm doing a Friday the Sunset in Richmond. A lot of great stuff coming up. I'm opening for Roy Ayers at Country Club Hills and just outside Chicago coming up. So there's so much great music and so much fun this summer. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So I will hope to meet you in Charlotte and at the Birchmere this
August. Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Definitely the Birchmere. It's starting to sell already. I'm really excited about that, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Mesa, thank you so much for spending
thank
some
you.
Time with us today and telling us about your music. We really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's right. And tell Baseman I said hi when you see him tonight.
Okay, I sure will.
And happy Mother's Day to you, Mesa.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'd appreciate it. Thanks to everyone out
You're
there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
You have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Okay, then, Mesa. Enjoy your night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Miss Mesa. You can pick up her CD, A Woman in Love, on her website, mesa.com, and I'm sure it's on, I think it's on amazon.com as well. So, you know, support the artist and pick up the music. While we wait for the next artist to call in, Julian Vaughn, I wanted to give you an update on that Uptown Charlotte Jazz Festival. There has been a lineup change. Michael Franks had to pull out for a personal commitment. So the new lineup will include the Rippingtons featuring Russ Freeman, Norman Brown, Mike Phillips featuring Mesa, Alex Bunyong, and Ken Navarro. This is held June 26th at 6 p.m. At the Uptown Charlotte. Wait a minute, where is it at? Oh, I don't have that on here. My apologies. I don't have that on here. But you can go to the website, UptownCharlotteJazzFest.com, for more information. And there's also a couple of hotels that have been put aside for the Jazz Fest attendees. Two hotels, the Residence Inn, Uptown Charlotte, and the Dunhill Hotel. And these hotels are going for $89 per night. So that's a good rate for this concert. So you want to check that out. Go and check out Mesa. This is the first annual Uptown Charlotte Jazz Festival for them, and this is a collaboration with Charles Whitfield and Tammy Green. And we had Charles on last week talking about it. So this promises to be a great start for Charlotte. So, you know, go check it out. UptownCharlotteJazzFest.com is the website, and this festival is going to be June 26th. Okay, Next artist, Julian Bond, is a little late calling in, so I'm going to play some music from his CD and while we give him a call to get him on the show. So his CD is called The Purpose Project. He is a bassist out of Kansas City. And the first song I'm going to play, excuse me, is called The Purpose. That was Julian Bond, bassist out of Kansas City. And doesn't he sound a little like Wayman Tisdale? The entire CD has that Wayman Tisdale feel to it. And, man, he's a very talented young man. He still has not called in yet. We are trying to locate him to get him on the show. So I would like to continue on and play one more song, and hopefully he will be on after that. This song is called Let's Talk. That was Let's Talk. Let me make sure that I got that right, because we do have Mr. Vaughn on the phone, and I want to make sure I have the right music. Mr. Vaughn, how are you, Julian?
I'm doing pretty good.
How are you? Thank you for calling in, and I understand that maybe I gave you the wrong time for calling in, so I apologize for that.
Oh, it's all right.
I apologize. So I believe I just played Let's Talk. From Julian's The Purpose Project CD. So congratulations on this CD. It's very nice.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Well, mm-hmm. A lot of hard work, but we got it.
Yes, very nice. Now, I wanted to ask you about Kansas. I have an uncle and an aunt that lives in Kansas City, and they own the Peachtree Buffet and Restaurant. Have you been to that? Are you familiar with it?
Definitely. I love that place.
Okay. All right.
That's the best. Food in town right there.
Yes, Miss Vera can throw down. She can throw down some food. I know they had a restaurant in the Jazz District, and that one closed. But the other two, the Peachtree Buffet and the other restaurant, is still going. So, yes, they excellent food there. If you're listening from Kansas City, you've got to check out the Peachtree Buffet and the restaurant. Excellent food. Great food.
I agree.
Mhm. All right, so Mr. Vaughn, tell us about this CD, The Purpose Project.
Well, this CD I've been working on that before I released it. I was working on that, I would say, about a year and a half to 2 years, you know, just kind of on and off, just waiting to, basically was, you know, trying to connect with the right people. Like, you know, on one of my first song, my single was featuring a recording artist, Darren Ron, from courtesy of New Groove Records. So, you know, when I started this CD, I didn't even know that, you know, I was going to run into, you know, a few of the names that's on my record right mm-hmm. now. So, I mean, it just kind of took off as soon as I, you know, got connected with some of the right people, man. And I mean, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of strain and everything, but it was so much fun. I enjoyed the process, you know, and what it is, you know, of course I play bass, so it's featuring lead bass, you know, and a lot of people like to compare the CD or my feel or my playing to the late Waymon Tisdale, who was a great influence on my career. So, I mean, if you like any of Waymon's records, then you will like this one.
Oh, most definitely.
Definitely. Now, Julian, I wanted to ask you, now you mentioned Darren Ron, and of course you know that Marcus Anderson is on the CD. How did you actually hook up with those guys?
Funny story. Well, it ain't funny. It's hooked up with Darren. A lot of people don't even know this story, but I was listening to one of his records, his last record, Rebound. And I was in the crowd listening to that out, and I was listening to the bass player, a guy by the name of Mel Brown out of Phoenix, Arizona. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm like, man, this guy is, like, really holding down a low end. I'm like, man, I got to get in contact with him because I would love to see if I can get this guy on my record. Cause I got some songs that are perfect for him, you know, to play the bass, and then I'll play the lead. So I found out the guy. Found out who he was, went to MySpace, found Mel Brown, and sent him a message, told him what I was doing, and told him I'd be honored to have him on my record at the bass. He said, hey, man, no problem, you know, everything. I was surprised how easy it was. Like, he sent me a couple of songs. He loved it. So I got to talking with him. I'm like, hey, man, do you know, who's this guy, Darren Ron, that's on Wayman's stuff? Because I see he produces, plays, and everything. He's like, hey, that's my best friend. If you want to holler, it might get you on three-way. He put me on three-way.
Wow.
And this is where I was at work, actually, when that happened at my old job. My 15-minute break turned into, like, 45 minutes. At that point, I didn't care. But put me on three-way with Darren Ron, and We talked, just kind of let him know, and it's like God just opened up that door, and I mean, I love that guy this day, man, because, you know, he kind of took me under his wing, and, you know, still, I talk to him at least a couple times every month, we keep in contact, and I mean, he's still teaching me stuff, but, man, that's a great guy right there, and he played on three songs, and he also mixed four songs. And he's a great producer, great engineer, so along with a great artist. So, yeah, it's a blessing getting in contact with him.
That's awesome.
The story behind that, yeah. MySpace has been good to me.
Wow. Now, how did you hook up with Marcus Anderson?
Marcus, now, same thing. I was actually, once I got up with Aaron, I was on, he was just a couple of on there and kind of clicked on. I'm like, who? Say it again.
I'm just going to be losing you a little bit.
Yeah. So I kind of clicked on Marcus Anderson's page, you know, like, let me hear what this guy is all about. And I heard, when I heard his music, I heard just not, I didn't really hear the music. I heard the soul. You know, the soulfulness of his playing on the saxophone. I'm like, this guy's got it. I'm like, he'd be great for this, he'd be great for that. I sent him a message, hey, I would like for you to play on a couple of songs. Are you down? He's like, yeah, I'm down. So I sent him the songs, and that's how we got hooked up. I just had Marcus in here. March 5th, I had a birthday party. I turned 30 this year, so I had a birthday party slash CD release party slash graduation party. So Marcus came down for that. The crowd loved him. So he's coming back here in July to do a show. Mm. So yeah.
Wow.
So we got hooked up. We got hooked up also through MySpace. Now we're good friends. I talk to him at least once every week, you know, so yeah, good friends like that, so.
And I have to tell you that your CD cover, you are just so handsome. The picture is so nice of you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Like that. And for you ladies out there, he is all of 6'7". Very tall. All of 6'7". Now, I know that you played basketball in school, but did the NBA ever come after you?
No, I played in a high school. In high school, I was, you know, first team all state and all that, pretty good. I even got nominated for the McDonald's All-American game. I didn't get chosen, but I was a nominee. Then I went to junior college and played a year, and I just stopped after that and just started messing around with music. But I regret that to today because, you know, I was one of those guys where you had to really stay on my behind about, you know, staying in the gym and getting better at basketball. But, like, you didn't have to do that with my music. You know, I was always, you know, practicing, always indulging in the music. But if I had to do all over again, I would have, you know, still been playing. And Lord knows what would have happened because, you know, I could really play, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
young and dumb sometimes. But that music was always there, so.
Well,
yeah. That's, hey. No, you live in. Yeah, hey, man, being 6'7", that's the first question I'm going to ask. Can you ball, you know? I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah, last Sunday they called me. They they were in the playoffs in the league, and so I had to come there Sunday and say it today. And that's when I get asked, because they're like, where'd you play college ball? Like, oh, you know, did you go overseas? Did you play anywhere? I get asked it all the time, but you know, that lets me know, man. I wish I would have. No telling what would have happened. I know the money would have been very nice. So.
You know, and when I was doing my research on you and I Googled your name, there's another Julian Vaughn that plays for the Georgetown Hoyas,
exactly.
And so
yeah.
I thought it was you, but the picture is a different Julian.
Right. Hopefully he makes it to the NBA, and that's just more publicity for me too. So
exactly.
Oh man, that's cool. That's cool. Now, Julian, you learned bass at an early age. You're actually self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught. Never had a lesson in my life.
Wow. Mm,
Just like Wyman.
Wow. So, and, you know, I know you grew up in the church because your dad and your granddad are pastors and everything. You didn't want to follow in that in their footsteps and become a pastor, or are you still going to be, you know, into ministry and everything?
Man, I believe that's something you're going to walk into, or, you know, I believe you know that at an early age, especially if you've been around all your life. And I know that's a field that's not for me, but you know, it's a lot. I used to have a lot of people. Oh yeah, you're gonna be a preacher too. You're gonna be this. You're gonna be that. I never paid attention to that because I knew I knew there was something special with music that I was supposed to do. I just at that time I didn't know what, but I always knew I had some kind of gift in music. So I just stayed away from that, the preaching. I really. Nothing against that, you know, but that's just not for me.
Not for you.
I've seen too much. You know, I'm good.
Okay.
All right. I want to get to another song, and I want to play the one that Marcus is on two tracks, and I played one, Let's Talk. He's on that track. He's also on the track Destiny. Tell us about this one.
This is kind of my little version of a kind of like a salsa track a little bit with a smooth jazz edge to it. So I wrote this song about I think I wrote this song in my car actually driving. But like I said, Marcus was he was a great pick for this song, and that's one thing about having multiple people play on your CD. You kind of know what you know who would be good for what song and everything. So I mean, he did a great job on this one. So this is my
Thanks, Julian. My
version of a salsa song. So that's it.
So Julian, you said you wrote this song while you were driving.
Yeah, I wrote two or three of these songs. Like, I consider myself a songwriter, so I always, a lot of times, I have songs, I have melodies just, you know, just blowing up in my head going 100 miles an hour, and I always keep a recorder in my pocket because I don't want to miss nothing. And that's how I wrote the Wayman tribute song. I wrote that. I was supposed to be going to a Joe Albright concert here when he was down here, but I had this song in my head, so I had to go home and record it. So I was in the studio for 6 hours doing that. And, I mean, that's just how it comes to me. So you never know. It comes at any time of the day, you get a song and you have to get on it.
So. Oh, yeah.
Before we play this song, Destiny, I have a phone call. Area code 864, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, how are you? What's up, Julian?
Oh, what's up, dude?
I heard you were talking about me, man.
Who's this?
Who's calling?
This is Marcus. Marcus Anderson.
Oh. Hello,
what's
going
on, Marcus?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah, someone, a little birdie told me that Julian was on. I want to call and just say hey.
Yeah, that's my boy right there.
So, Marcus, tell us what it was like working with Julian.
Well, what it was like and what it's still like, because I think this is going to be a long time friendship relationship working with Julian. It was great, and I'm really just looking forward to the future because this is only the beginning, and we've only just begun. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm just excited.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I played the song. The first song, the two tracks that you were on, I played Let's Talk, and I'm getting ready to play Destiny.
Okay.
Next. So if you want to hold on for a few minutes.
Sure.
We can talk. Okay. All right. This is Destiny from Julian Bond's The Purpose Project. right. That was Destiny from Julian Bond's The Purpose Project with Mr. Marcus Anderson on saxophone. Very nice, fellas. Very nice.
Yeah. Great tune, Julian. Great tune, man.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you, Marcus, when Julian hit you on MySpace and asked you about working with him, what was your first thought?
I get a lot of people that are kind of flaky. Like, they hit me like, hey, I want you to play on this track. You know, I want you to do this. And, like, that's how I kind of thought at first. But after I went to his page and I heard him, I was like, hey, this guy, you know, he sounds really good. And he was really professional with getting with me and following up. And that's how I knew. It was like when someone calls you or sends you an email and they follow up, that's when you know, okay, they're serious. If they don't, then, you know, you kind of say, I'm not going to take him serious. But Julian, he was very professional with everything that he did.
Cool. All
and
right.
Did you guys meet? Did you actually work together in a studio?
No, I recorded it in North Carolina, and I emailed him the tracks, and he got everything that way. We didn't meet actually until later on for a CD release party. He flew me up, and I played at that, and that was months later. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. That's great, Marcus. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Thank you for letting me squeeze in on a little bit of Julia's time. So everybody be on the lookout for Julia and tell him, man, this guy, he's bad. I'm telling you, he's awesome. Very talented, very gifted. And that's all I got to say. All right, I'm done.
you ain't too shabby yourself, bro. Shush.
Oh, well, thanks, Julia. Thanks, Julia. All right, I got to get to this sound check. I'm here in Temecula, Cali today. So I'm going to go ahead and try to do some damage out here.
All right, you have a good show.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Mr. Marcus Anderson. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. So now, Julian, I thought that this was your debut CD, The Purpose Project, but you have another CD out called Behind the Scenes.
Yes. Now, I called this my debut because, all the chips were in place for this one, but the behind the scenes, that was kind of, you know, a little intro CD, me kind of getting my feet wet and everything. But, you know, people like that one also.
Oh, it is very, very nice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And you can find that on cdbaby.com. It's called Behind the Scenes. It's really, really nice.
I'm also on iTunes also, so, you know. Want to download? I'm on iTunes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, when you first started, you started out on the drums. You were playing drums in the church and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, can you still play drums, or?
Yeah, I can still play drums. I'm not good enough to play on my own record, but I can still play drums. Still to this day, you know, at our church after a Sunday morning, you know, you get about four or five little guys run up there, and they all want to play the drums. You know, nobody wants to touch the guitar, nobody touches the piano, the organ, but they run straight to the drums, and that's how it was coming up. So.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Now, can you tell us about your dad introducing you to jazz with the Najee cassette?
Man, it was, it was laying around. I was walking around the house one day. I think I got home from school. I think I was in, a freshman year in high school, I believe it was. I just walked around and I seen this cassette tape. I was always listening to something, but that was the first time I heard jazz music. And it was Najee's CD called Tokyo Blue, which is still my favorite CD of all times. I've heard that CD like 5,000 times, and I never get tired of it. But I listened to that, man. It was just like, I don't know, something happened in me, something clicked. And that's my first time being introduced to jazz, man. I was like, I love this stuff. So,
Now, you being brand new on the smooth jazz scene, and you performed at the Seabreeze Jazz Festival, how did that happen?
I got kind of hooked up, was kind of talking back and forth with Kirk Whalum's manager, whose name is Earl Cole, who managed Wayne Mantilla before his passing, kind of talked with him. I had a chance to go down to the funeral, to Wayman's funeral in Tulsa, and kind of that's actually the first time I met Darren Ryan, you know, outside of just talking on the phone. And he kind of called me when I got back and was like, you know, say Earl wants to talk to you about some things. So we talked, and then, you know, time went on. Then we kind of talked again, and he called me about about 2.5 weeks, about 2.5 weeks before the event even happened. Like, hey, I got you in the Seabreeze Festival, and I was like, wow. I mean, I didn't know just how big it was. I knew that some big names. That's the last festival that Wayman even performed at. So I knew it was kind of big, but I didn't know it was that big until I got there. So, you know, I get there. And you know, did a couple of my songs, and that Friday night, the whole thing was hosted by Nick Colleone, who I think is a fantastic man. That's a cool guy. That's all I can say about that guy. I did my thing. They did the Wayman tribute. They did the Wayman tribute video, and then I had to come up right after that, and you know, I had to, of course, play to my tracks, which I would love to have a live band other than doing that, but you know, that's what I had to do at the time. So I played that song, you know, and I was going to put my bass down because it was called an All Star, I forgot the name of it, but All Star Hour. And I forgot that Nick O'Young came up to me even before we all went up there. I was like, well, this is what we're gonna do. So if you want to get down on it, let's do it. I was like, cool, but I forgot he said this. I'm going to put my bass down after I got done performing. He's like, oh, where you going? We got some more to do. I was like, okay. There's like 6,000 plus people out here. So I get, you know, they first song they do, do the famous song Chameleon. And then after that, we do we get to the Wayman stuff. He's like, we about to jam now. So we get to Get Down On It. What else did we do? We did another one of his popular songs. I can't even remember right now. But they were both upbeat, you know, two songs that he made kind of famous in the jazz genre. So the verse comes up, everybody, you know, playing the verse. I mean playing the, you know, the chorus, the hook or whatever. So, and then we get into the verse. And everybody on their instrument, you got the sax pack up here, Jakeem Joyner, B.K. Jackson, Gerald Beasley, Joey Somerville, Shil, and you got all these guys, Nick, who's out in front. They all turn around and look at me. It's like, get up there. So I'm like, well, you ain't got to tell me twice. So I get out there, and I start, you know, playing it. I was, you know, playing it just like Wayman would play it. And I mean, the crowd just went. They went nuts. And I couldn't believe I was up there doing that because it was just so spare at the moment. So I mean, even after that, I had so many people come up to me and they said they closed their eyes, and you know, they couldn't. They didn't even know that wasn't him up there. And I think that makes me feel good. Now I'm not trying to be like the guy, but you know, if I'm gonna get the comparisons right now, then you know, so be it. You know, I'll roll with it. You know, but it was that event, man. That was life changing. I mean, I didn't go anywhere without somebody saying, you know, saying something nice. So that kind of really really shot my name out there. So it's like really out there right now. So just trying to build on that right now.
Wow, what a great experience for you. Wow, that was awesome.
Let me ask. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, were you nervous at all?
You know what? This was funny thing is, I was nervous when I did my song. I was very nervous. I was like, oh, man. I didn't know what to think. You know, I'm sitting there looking at my bass while I'm playing, not hardly looking out because I'm like, man, look how these people out here. But it's like, soon as we got to the live part and started doing the wave and stuff, it's just like all that stuff just went away because I knew that stuff like the, you know, just like I know my music, but I knew that stuff like the back of my hand. And at that time, you know, about a month ago, being right there on stage, it's like it was just, everything was just natural. It was like I was just practicing. So, I mean, it was, I wasn't too nervous after that. After that, it was like, okay, this is good right here. So,
Wow. Now, with all the attention that you're getting with this city, because this city is, I mean, it's acting like you sent it to me and Terry, and I mean, I haven't stopped listening to it. I mean, it's just an awesome city. I mean, were you really prepared for the attention that you're getting now?
Yeah, I was actually. You know, I was at times wondering to myself, when am I gonna get my break, or you know, when am I gonna come in contact with as a whole all the right people to like really, you know, to really get me out there, get my music out there. So honestly, I've been ready for, even before the record came out, I was ready, and I'm still ready. I try to stay ready, you know. So, you know, nothing. Like as of right now, is after the sea breeze, especially, nothing is surprising now, because I've gotten some more things that I'm waiting to happen officially before I say, you know, before I speak on it. But I mean, everything is happening real fast, to be honest with you right now.
Thank you. So. And real fast from the chat room, Marvin Dickey from, I think he's from Urban Smooth Groove, he says that he got your review, he's coming up with a review of your CD, so
okay.
He's definitely going to be doing that, definitely. But I do know that, yes, definitely, but I do know that you're getting a whole lot of attention, because I know when I first heard it, I contacted you too. I was like, hey, man, you got a manager. You know, I'm like, this kid is hot. You know what I mean? That's when I first called you up. But then you had told me that, you know, you've been getting a lot of phone calls from guys like, you know, Kurt's manager and Marcus Johnson and all these different cats and everything.
Yeah.
Now, had any record labels called you?
Well, I have some close friends who are with a few record companies. And so I'm working on a few things, but, you know, like I said, nothing is as in stone yet, because that's one thing I didn't want to do. I knew when I got my record finished that, you know, potentially great chance that, you know, things would start to come up, but I didn't want to just jump and run into something, because I feel like I have something special here, and that, you know, the world that, you know, really hasn't even really seen or experienced, you know, what I'm trying to do. And so I don't want to rush in. I don't want to rush in, and still don't. So that's why, you know, I'm still kind of waiting and waiting on God to like let, you know, give me some kind of comfort about who I'm supposed to actually be with.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Ah.
I like that.
Yes, I do too. Okay, let's listen to another song from the CD. Let's see. I'm going to pick. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to upload track number 1 and number 10. For some reason, it wouldn't upload on this system. So I don't have those to play. But I do want to play. Julian, how about you pick something?
Number 5 would be, you know, I've been in a funk kind of mood, you know, just wanting to get down. So I have a number 5 that's also featuring Darren Run, song I wrote called Get Up. So it got some funk to it, and I actually use a wah effect on my piccolo bass. It's kind of something that guitar players use, but I thought it would be cool to use that on my bass, and it worked out great.
Okay.
So that's number 5 called Get Up.
Here we go. Thank you. That's some serious funk right there.
That
is from Julian Vaughn's The Purpose Project. You can pick that up on his website, julianvaughnmusic.com. So check that out. Julian, I have a question regarding, you know, what's going on in smooth jazz right now. You're new to the scene, just coming into the smooth jazz scene. What do you think, what is your opinion now what's happening, you know, with us losing so many radio stations and the artists now having to be their own managers and booking agents and publicists? How, you coming into the field now, what do you, what do you, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think it's really unfortunate. I know we had a smooth jazz radio station here in Kansas City about 5 years ago, and it left. You know, we were pretty much upset about that. I didn't know that it was, at that time, I had no idea that it was going to be like it is today. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you look at the other genres, you look at rap music still going strong, R&B still going strong, country still going strong. And it seems like, you know, smooth jazz or just jazz itself is kind of suffering right now. And, I mean, that's where you really find people. I just think you find true art in jazz. Like, you really have to be able to play to make it in this industry. You know, and I just think it's really unfortunate. I think the artists right now, especially in my position, we have to work 2 or 3 times as harder as you know, just your regular person would at any other genre. And I it's like to me, it seems like it's only a handful of guys in the jazz genre that are really, really successful, or, you know, are really getting the big pieces of the pie. And, you know, there's this new young group coming up that, you know, is going to hopefully bring some, you know, new flavor, bring a new sound. And that's what really I'm really hoping for, that's going to happen. Because, look, you have your, it's a certain age group that what I'm trying to do is, you know, bring awareness to this kind of music. You know, a lot of, even when I went to the Seabreeze Festival, I saw a lot of ages, I would say most of the time, 35 on up. You know, really didn't see a lot of people in their 20s or even teenagers. You know, so I'm trying to find loopholes, trying to find ways to bring this generation, you know, to kind of introduce them to this kind of music. And sometimes we have to tap into the R&B side and kind of mix that to kind of catch that attention. And that's what that's what I'm trying to do. Anything I can do to bring some awareness just to this genre, because I would hate to see that, you know, this genre suffer, you know, on down the line.
Right. You know, I agree.
I think jazz is, I mean, I just think this is the best music alive. I know I'm kind of biased, but I mean, you really have to know what you're doing, you know, to do it in this genre. So.
Mhm. Yeah, definitely.
And we love it too. We, Mike and I, are, I guess you can call us smooth jazz head fans, because we are diehard fans of the genre. We absolutely love it as well.
Yeah.
As well. So, what's coming up for you? I know there's some things that you can't talk about right now, but I think with you debuting at the Seabreeze Jazz Festival, that has opened up some doors for you, most definitely. And I know that we will be seeing you at other festivals, but what can you tell us about what's coming up for you?
Oh, I know I'll be down with Marcus in North Carolina. I think that's June 11th through the 12th or 13th. Down there doing a few shows with him. I also am doing a concert here in Kansas City in July. I'm just waiting on to secure the venue, and I'm bringing in Marcus, and I'm also bringing in a young guy, 18 years old, name is BK Jackson. The guy's phenomenal.
Yes, he is.
Yes, I'm actually bringing him in here also. And so, you know, I'm trying to, what I want to do is start something up here in my area and do this every year, you know. So when I'm 40, it'll be the 10th annual so-and-so. You know, that's what I'm trying to
yes.
do. And also, October the 30th, I'll be performing at the American Smooth Jazz Awards.
Okay, we didn't know that. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, all
yeah,
right.
So I'll be playing with a guy by the name of Nate Harrison.
Harrison.
Yes, I hope I said his name right. He'd get mad at me, but I just did a track together too. But I'll be performing with him and some more people that he has performing. We have it's a 10-minute segment featuring.
Oh, that's new artist segment.
Yeah.
That's Russell Blake was gonna be Russell Blake and I think Russell Blake and some more cats gonna be up there. Yeah. That's gonna be hot.
I'm excited about that, man. So
you're excited. Look, you made me want to go buy a ticket. I gotta
buy a ticket.
Way up there. That's gonna be hot, man. Yeah,
right. Oh, that is great, Julian. That is awesome. See what happens. I mean, gosh, I know that the Sea Breeze has opened up some doors for you. I know it has, and I can't wait to see you perform somewhere. Maybe at the Catalina Jazz Fest eventually, and
definitely,
Berks, and gosh, I cannot wait to see you.
I was gonna say I do agree with what you're saying that there's a new generation of artists coming up, like say yourself, BK Marcus, like you guys have a young lady named Elizabeth Miss. We have a drummer, his name is Caliber Reese. There's so many young artists in the smooth jazz genre that is coming up behind these guys. So I wish you guys nothing but the best. It's going to be the next generation is coming. Basically, that's it.
That's right.
Some people they're going to have to kind of scoot over because
that's right.
We coming with some heat, man. So
yeah.
I'm excited about that. That's right.
Yes, you are. Yes, you definitely are. Well, thank you so much, Julian. Mike, do you have any other questions?
I guess we can close out with another one of Julian's song and let him pick another one.
Most definitely. Again, the name of the CD is The Purpose Project. You can pick it up on julianbondmusic.com. iTunes, and on CD Baby, and also check out his other CD, Behind the Scenes. It is so good, so good.
Yeah.
Check that one out as well. All right, so we will close with a song from another song from the CD. What would that be, Julian?
Okay, I guess you could do track 10, the tribute, and the single, Thank You. I'm trying to figure out what we got left. We got number two called The Purpose, the title cut.
Okay, cool. Okay. Let everybody know we won't be on next week. Let's let everybody
That's
know
right.
that first.
That's right. We will not be on tomorrow because it's Mother's Day, so we will not be on tomorrow. And I will be attending the Newport Beach Jazz Festival next weekend, so we will not be on next weekend as well.
So and we'll have a summer show with Mindy Apair.
On the 24th, on the 23rd, and the 22nd and the 23rd, we're talking to Mark Stevens and Rob Bacon. They are members of Boney James Band. And then on the 24th, which is a Monday, we will be interviewing Mindy Abear. All right. Julian, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, it is our pleasure. Much continued success to you. You are going to blow up.
Thank you. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And whenever you want to send me some secret tracks, man, you can hit me up. You got the number.
Oh, wow.
Yes, definitely. I would definitely know once this file out, man. It's going to be great.
All right, Julian, you have a great day, and I am going to close with The Purpose from the Purpose Project. Have a great day, Julian. It was great talking to you.
You guys, too. Thank you.
All right, Julian.
All right. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you on May 22nd and 23rd. This is The Purpose from Julian Bond's The Purpose Project.